So exactly what is that in particular?
That's a camera.
I know that's a camera.
It's a little thing.
It's a DJI Osmo Pocket. Osmo Pocket.
As in it should fit in your pocket?
Yes.
I have an iPhone. It doesn't do that.
I have an iThing.
An iThing, yeah. I got an iPad, which
we can start now.
I can't out yet.
Welcome to the Lighter Side of the Dark Side. It's your weekly freak show here on Renegade Radio, as well as, speaking of Apple, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you're listening to us, YouTube. It's the Dark Mark Show. I'm Dark Mark, the goth comedian. Unfortunately, the chair to me is empty because it just flipped over for some reason.
We're celebrating gentle streamlining.
Yeah, Hannah is my usual co-host is not here today.
Hannah was doing an impersonation of me, usually running late.
Right.
So we've switched.
Too, huh?
Yeah, we've switched roles today. So Hannah can be late. It's okay if we are late. It's not okay if our periods are late.
Okay?
Right. Now, by the way, that's all that sassy talk was courtesy of Rotten Kitty.
Hi, kids.
And we love Rotten Kitty.
Comedian,
actress, burlesque dancer, musician, I'm finding out.
Yeah.
I went on your MySpace page, all sorts of things.
Yeah, that's what I always do.
You know what? I was surprised when you had sent me that link, because I was, first off, sorry, I don't know what's on there. It's years old. That is really scary.
Yeah, that's where I pulled the picture from.
That's a scary thought.
And I think I actually met this guy on MySpace back in the day.
MySpace, oh yeah.
Here he is.
Ooh.
I gotta adjust this camera for a second.
Yeah, because I'm probably, reflecting too much here.
No, it's not that. It's just
there's no reflection.
I want to make sure to see what I'm doing, but
when has that ever stopped me?
Exactly, but that's Cleve Hall talking. Mm-hmm. And as I said, I met you back in the MySpace days.
Yeah.
And while I do this with the camera, and Cleve, as you know, Monster Man, Sci-Fi, Monster Maker. We got all sorts of stuff to talk about. There's a lot of things I'm finding out about you that I didn't know before. I didn't know.
And plenty you're not going to find out, too.
Yeah. But anyway.
Well, I have a broken self-edit, as I said. So.
No, and that's good. But let me tell you something, Kitty. The best Halloween parties in town, I've been to quite a few of those. There he is. There he is, Monster Man, Cleve Hall, at Cleve Hall's house. He spares no expense. Real quick, our sponsors, go to audibletrial.com/DMS for audibletrial.com/DMS. I'm talking too fast again.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to remember that.
He's trying to squeeze it all in.
Trying to squeeze it all in.
Yeah.
You get a free book, two free Audible originals, including The Alien 3, written by William Gibson, and a 30-day trial to Audible. Go to Doomy's Home Cooking if you're in L.A.
Doomy!
Culver City or Toronto, the best vegan food you've ever had. You know Phil, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, this is... you have been called the goth Mr. Rogers.
Yeah, that's because my TV show, Monster Man, on Sci-Fi Channel, one of the weird things about it was that all these kids started watching it, and they're really into it. And I go to a lot of conventions, not so many now, but like for a couple of years it was every weekend.
Right.
All over the country. And I would meet these wonderful kids who come up, and they're so smart and so talented. A little 7-year-old girl in Pittsburgh brings us evil clown puppet she had sculpted and cast herself 7 years old. And it was crude, but I got this, 7 years old with her hands.
Well, that's
and
great.
To me, inspiring a new generation of children to create art with their hands and to love monsters is the best legacy you could leave. But I've now got all these kid fans and stuff, so it's kind of like I'm the goth Mr. Rogers.
Right.
I think every that's kid so cool. should have a role model who wears eyeliner and drives a hearse. In my opinion,
I've seen the hearse.
I'll buy into that.
I saw you were working on it.
Oh,
okay.
Oh yeah. Well, I'm just about to paint it. It's running now. It's getting it to stop. That's the issue. So I'm doing the rear brakes now. But yeah, it's almost there. It's 1961 SNS Victoria. Her name is Hercula.
Hercula.
I was just going to ask you what's her
she's
name.
She's gorgeous. She's beautiful.
Do hearses have to have a name?
Yeah.
Yes.
No, they don't have to, but they
I
get
know,
them.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know one that doesn't have a name. Like Lydia, she has Dusty and all.
Yeah.
Right. Now, and you also won Emmy Awards, I think, for Yo Gabba Gabba.
I didn't win it. I got nominated for it, but the summer games, Pan Am Summer Games or something, won. People jumping around in unitards, excuse me, won over Yo Gabba Gabba, but that's okay. It was nice
to
be nominated.
You just wanted an excuse to say the word tard in any form that you could. Yeah, that's not okay,
but
Cleve.
But just go half-tard.
Yeah. Yeah, you can go full-tard, half-tard. You just can't say...
Depends on the time of day for me.
You can't say tard again.
Yeah, I know, I'm not being politically correct.
Now, when you showed up at the Emmys, what was your reaction?
I didn't go, show up. I didn't go. I was in New York, I think. It cost a ton of money to go to that.
Right.
Yeah, no, it's like I would have had to know I was winning before I would show up in that and say, exactly. Nobody wants a camera to flick over to my disappointed look.
I know that'd be quite a meme though.
Yeah, yeah. And no, it would have been cool stuff, but yeah, it was extremely expensive to go to the Emmys. Yeah.
Right. I was reading now, you're from Florida, which I didn't know.
Yes, I'm from Jacksonville, Florida.
Now, is this lore or is this real? On Wikipedia it says you lived right next to a graveyard.
Not only did we live next to the graveyard, we owned it. Riverside Memorial Park. Yeah, it's a huge cemetery. Very pretty.
You're from a family of morticians.
No, we just owned the cemetery. We weren't really morticians.
Just enthusiasts.
My great-grandfather had built it and drained the whole area, because if you know anything about Florida, you go down one deep, you're in the water.
Oh, sure.
So they drained the whole area. Everything is a beautiful cemetery, beautiful statues from Italy, and I have a family crypt there, which everybody's in. And my plan there is, whenever I kick it, is I'm going to knock out the wall, the little wall partition between two of them. I'm going to have a double-wide coffin, and I'm going to have nice. Passion of Lovers playing on nonstop loop, mm-hmm. And then the epitaph, fuck them if they can't take a joke. that's my plan.
Yeah, well, that's a good plan. Well, it's nice to have connections.
Well, yeah, no, it helps to be a member of the group.
I don't think Forrest Lawn will let you do that or wherever else. No. But I also, because I was not aware of a lot of stuff, and I've been researching. I just knew he was the creepy guy at the goth club first of all.
Yeah, I kind of
And then it's like, no, that's
it
Monster Man. And then I found out about the series and found out what you did.
I don't make a big deal out of things because I'm kind of like, don't like tooting my own horn.
Can I toot your horn? I was excited because I saw in association with your name this afternoon, Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Oh, yeah.
What's the story? Yeah, well, I beat you to it. Hi, fourth wall.
No, that was wonderful. Pee-wee's Big Adventure, it was like, that was Tim Burton's first film, and that was like 1985, I believe, and they were looking for the scene at the end with a chase through the Warner Brothers, looking for a Godzilla-like suit, and I think Steve Johnson told them, well, I know somebody's got one, me, and he referred them to me, and then they said, well, we need another one, a flying creature, and I said, well, I've got a King Ghidorah suit also, because these were back in Florida. I had made these when I was younger.
Right.
So I had them shipped out, and I played Godzilla. Could have died that day, and I would not have cared because I've been stomping on tanks, fighting King Ghidorah, and running into Twisted Sister's car.
Right.
And it's one of being a Godzilla on screen. That's a huge. I love Godzilla, in case you have not noticed.
Oh, no, that's fine with me.
Love him.
It's like, well, let me ask you a question, because I've asked this of a couple other guests that are big Godzilla fans. Why can't America make a decent Godzilla
movie? I like the new one.
I haven't seen the new one.
The new one's good. I mean, the story-wise, it's like, then that's what the critics are painting it for, is like this human story is just kind of lame. And it's not the greatest. It could have been better. But who cares? You want to see monsters open a can of whoop-ass on each other.
Right.
And that's what this film has. And it has Godzilla, it has Mothra, Rodan, and King Ghidorah in it. The four big favorites.
Okay.
Just to see them done and see Godzilla get that respect, it's important.
So they finally did it right.
Well, the big thing about this one is that the Brer McCreary did score to it, but he used the original themes from Akira Ifukube, which is part of the thing of Godzilla, is like no other character in popular characters probably is recognized by his theme song, as maybe James Bond would be the only other one.
Or
is
Batman.
Godzilla. When you hear that music,
you know
it's a Godzilla. Mm-hmm. And to hear that music again, okay, I cried. I lost it. I'll tear it up in there when they started playing that music, because it's beautiful. Fukube was a genius and stuff.
Right.
And he created Godzilla's roar also by just rubbing a resin-coated glove across the contrabass strings and got that sound.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yep. That's how he got the weird noise.
Wow.
But, there's magic in those films. It's like whenever the Egyptians showed the old films, or the old Hammer movies, or the old Edgar Allan Poe's with Vincent Price, there's magic in those movies that will never be repeated.
Right.
You see them again on a big screen and hear the pops and stuff of the soundtrack. And that just takes me back to my youth growing up in Jacksonville at the Murray Hill Theater every weekend watching these movies. And they're wonderful.
And you had built the Godzilla suit for what?
Well, that Godzilla suit was actually the third one I'd done. The first one I did in 76 was as an amateur. I had gotten in, I was doing stop motion animation first, doing little models and stuff, and I was really into that and the whole Ray Harryhausen thing.
Yeah.
And I was in high school, and I went, my best friend, the late Steve Sleep, he and I used to every day go home from school and build stuff and animate them in the garage. And then one day we decided to build, using those techniques, build a big suit. So we did a Godzilla, won a costume contest at a convention in Houston, then took Flagover Texas, wanted one, and I've been, that was, like, I think I was still a junior in high school, and I was already doing this stuff.
Right.
And the one that's in Pee-wee is the third one I had made, because that one we did a sculpted head and everything and got it right. And then the King Ghidorah, we used those actually. We did like a show with a symphony orchestra in Jacksonville. They did a Star Wars concert, and we had the monsters show up, and they did music to that. I think Holst the Planets, and we did our on-stage monster fight with explosions and stuff.
Those were the days.
It was fun stuff.
Like, well, you said Holst the Planets. I know.
Look at that smile. Look at that.
I do love classical.
Me
you
too.
Should know
yeah.
this about me. Holst the Planets, and then Adams is a U.S. composer, and he actually had written Pluto after the planet. Anyway, you don't need to know this. You can look
but
it
we
up.
Also no, we like to, I like this. To use Prokofiev's Enemy Gods, which is a great one for a monster brawl. You know. But yeah, we did that, and then I had them stored, actually, after I left L.A., I had them stored at the museum, the planetarium that we used to perform at, because we used to do cosmic concerts, you know, every three shows every weekend, or every Friday night and Saturday night, and those were great because we do live black light puppetry, all kinds of stuff in a planetarium with the stuff projected, spin the stars real fast so you get people to throw up and play
That's
rock music and stuff.
Yeah.
It was great, and it was fun and stuff. And I created those shows. I loved doing those. Each one was like 40 minutes long and had like four sections in it. We'd end off with a giant puppet at the end, like five operators, like Chernabog from Night on Ball Mountain, and end with that. That was our little fright music show. And we did those before, you know, I got out to L.A., and I'm thinking, oh, I'm going to become, learn all these professional things and what they're doing out here. Well, because everything I made back in Jacksonville was made out of mattress foam. What I found out when I got here and opened my book the first day was, oh, you do foam fabrication. Bam, I was hired. I did not know it was considered a specialty out here, and that's what I've been doing now for 40 years is fabricating things out of foam, you know, and it's the
same thing, right?
Yeah, it is. It's like two of us. There used to be the foam gods with back in the 80s when there's so much work.
Right.
Now there's about two of us left, Bill Bryan and I still doing it. Robert Miller. Yeah.
We'll talk about the CGI and all that.
Yeah, the CGI thing. Yeah,
I'm going to have to be honest, and I know I've said this before, but I'm not a huge fan of CGI. I think there's a romance in puppeteering and puppet strings.
There's something about having it there live, for one thing, but here's my take on it.
If you're stuck in a good storyline, it doesn't matter.
CGI, to me, is a good enhancement for a practical effect, but should never replace it. And because what that does is it takes out the how do they do that aspect, and that takes out the magic.
Right.
And that's it. Because I think of Valley of Guanji, when the cowboys are roping the Tyrannosaurus, the old Harryhausen film in the 60s.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. You just don't even know where the real rope ended and the fake animated one ended up. It was just amazing how he did that
and
stuff.
And you're so ensconced in the story.
It's magic.
I love that.
Well, it hasn't to mention that CGI doesn't quite have yet.
Yeah.
Although, I mean, you know, it's...
They're getting close.
Legendary's done some good stuff. I mean, it depends. Like the Spider-Man 2, the Doc Ock Spider-Man fight is amazing.
Yeah.
Because it has impact and it has weight. So many things that are CGI, like that 2005 King Kong, he's flying all over the place. Like he's weightless, you know, and sliding around on the ice on his butt. Oh, cutesy. That's not Kong. I'm sorry. But, I mean, just the Clash of the Titans remake was really good. Like there's big crabs or whatever, they when they smash stuff, you almost felt the shaking. You know?
I disagree with the original.
To be fair, I didn't see the new one, so I have to be fair. I did not
see the
new
one.
You
should see it. It's got some really good stuff.
Well, you know, but you're the expert. You know better than I do. But
that wasn't Harryhausen's best. I mean, that was his last film.
Yeah.
I'm a big Harryhausen
fan. I love how you said it. You're like, it wasn't Harryhausen's best.
Well, it wasn't because he did it from MGM, and all the other ones had been for Columbia, and all the Sinbad, Seven Forges Sinbad, and all the really classic ones.
I love Sinbad.
Yeah. That and Jason and the Argonauts, the ones he had done, and then Valley of Guanji and First Men in the Moon. And so when he did Clash of the Titans, it's kind of a mess because it mixes so many different myths together. Because first of all, Pegasus did not fight with what's his name? The guy. Yeah.
Perseus.
Yeah, no, it actually was.
Keep thinking Harry
Pegasus,
Hamlin.
Harry Hamlin with a perm.
That was weird. A big close-up of his face.
Yeah.
No, he fought the Chimera with Bellerophon.
Right.
And Perseus had little winged shoes, but I guess that wouldn't have been as interesting.
See, but they have Archimedes, and I don't even know how they did Archimedes, and that was like the cutest
little... You mean Bubo?
Was it Bubo? Yeah.
Yeah, Bubo, yeah.
I'm mixing up my owls.
That was thrown in to be like an R2-D2 thing back in the 70s one, right. But they make a joke about it in the new one.
Oh, do they?
Oh, they pick him up and say, don't bring that, it's worthless.
Well, I have a soft spot for Clash of Titans because for some reason when I was like, I think sixth grade, because we were studying mythology, like they show Clash of Titans in class.
Yeah.
And there's like, you know, boobs and stuff. And everybody was just, you know, just about ready to, you know, just prepubescent and really like, when the boobs came on screen, everybody started.
We didn't get boobs.
The first one showed rear. Yeah, well.
I think there's a little.
We had an edit, a little heiny too.
We had overprotective parents, they all like pre-edited the
They slunk it in there very subtly. They had her getting out of the bath and Judy Belker from the back.
Yeah.
In the original, yeah.
Yeah, they didn't censor this, so it was really weird. Yeah. So when
I don't always agree that crack kills. It depends what kind of crack.
Yeah, no, it's fine. You know, Hammer did it. I mean, look at their Hammer and their cleavage. You know, like
I saw some crack coming down here. Somebody, like their sweatpants were real.
Sorry, I'll pull them.
Not you. Sorry. No, this is on just driving here. When you show up in the Godzilla outfit, what does Tim Burton think?
Oh, he loved it, absolutely. In fact, he liked the way I looked, because I had my Goth Hawk up and all that stuff when I got there.
Oh, the Goth Hawk.
Yeah, and he put, actually, in the film, right before the Godzilla scene, the first shot of his foot hitting the tank, there's two cuts of the sleigh, or, no, it's not the sleigh yet, it's the sleigh and the boat going by, and you see me on the right-hand side as myself.
Right.
And he just stuck me in the scene.
Oh, that's right, you were one of the bikers or something?
No, I was just one of the guys standing there talking to somebody as a background extra, you know, just because he liked
Would that be considered an Easter egg?
I guess. I don't know.
Depending on who's watching, it's
on your IMDb as uncredited.
Oh, it says a biker thing. I'm not one of the bikers.
No.
Yeah, I am Godzilla. Now, that was fun because we shot the scene over it, and I ran into a wall at the end of it, and then I guess Dee Snider found out that Godzilla was going to be in it, wanted to be in it, so they redid it with him.
Yeah.
And that was good. He was very, very cool.
Yeah, at that point, whatever Dee Snider says, Dee Snider's
cool. He's very underrated.
He seems like he'd be pretty cool.
Yeah. I like him a lot. But his thing at the PRMC thing, testified, is amazing.
No, he's great.
It's a chip of board.
He's an underrated singer, but at that point, he was like, that's when he was at his peak.
Yeah, he was great. Very polite, very hilarious.
You know? Pre-leader of the pack. That's when that.
I think polite is definitely underrated.
Well, that's something like Marilyn Manson, somebody who's like, whenever he's in solo, he's got somebody, I've seen him on Bill Maher's or whatever, some Christian person who would not let him get a word in, and he would just very politely finally said, you know, like, I've read the Bible, I've also read The Cat in the Hat. I thought both were good books. And that was just a very polite response, you know, nothing insulting.
And actually, speaking of Dee Snider, and being the horror movie from the official.
He's big with the
Strangeland.
That's a great movie.
Is underrated and very influential.
Very cool.
There's no Saw without Strangeland.
Right. I was very squeamish because it's very much a modern primitive thing, you know.
But it's torture porn and Saw were basically born from that movie.
I do like Saw. It's had some fun stuff. Yeah. I like the two of them actually because the second one kind of answers a lot of questions from the first one and has a nice ending to it.
Right.
I heard there was a third one, but it got.
No, there's like 10 of them.
Oh, really? Another franchise?
Saw 3D, Carrie always comes back. But
I'm not the biggest thing on blood and gore. It does pay the rent.
And by the way, they're going to reboot Saw,
and
Chris Rock is writing and directing it.
Okay, I love Chris Rock, but when they say reboot Saw, didn't Saw just
start?
What's
the difference between a reboot and a remake? I know, so did Cabin Fever, and they've already rebooted it.
No, they did Jigsaw, and that failed. Yeah. So now they're going to do a reboot of the reboots.
So I think, is a reboot just basically taking what exists and then just building on it, and a remake is like, no, we really think a lot of ourselves.
A remake is like we're doing the same plot.
Square one remake.
A reboot is we're kind of doing the same plot, but it's a little different.
Well, they did that with Friday the 13th, and it was really bad.
Can't we just decide that we should be original?
Like we're going back to.
I think that's a good idea.
I like it.
Like reboot is like we're going back to one. Like Batman Begins is a reboot.
Which is like,
Casino Royale.
Oh, right, yeah.
This is like somebody who has a serious ego problem that's like, no, I think my vision should hold the day. I think the world needs to see
my
vision.
Well, that's what Chris Rock's like, everybody needs to see him do whatever he wants to do.
There's one that, I guess Dawn of the Dead was a remake in a way, but that was amazing. I loved the remake of Dawn of the Dead.
But that was a remake. That wasn't like,
original.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that film.
I think I would say probably... I like it just as much as the original.
At least as much as it. That was one of few. That was a rare occasion where that was very good.
Was it Dawn of the Dead? It was either the remake Dawn of the Dead or Dawn of the Dead 2. And I remember they were supposed to have some big outdoor scene. And I was working at Playmates of Hollywood at the time. And a casting agent.
Really?
Yeah, the casting agent came in and offered us, hey, would you like to be extras in Dawn of the Dead?
Well.
At the time, I knew very little about horror or anything like that. And all I kept thinking, I looked at the address on the sheet and it was like, way out in further than I had ever driven before. And I looked at my gal pal at the time. I was like, well, do you want to come with me? And the guy looked at me and goes, no, just you. And I thought, I freaked out. And I was like, I can't do that drive by myself. And then my friend got pissed because she wanted to do it. She knew
she wanted
to be in Bruce Campbell movie. And I just didn't, I was too scared. I was just too.
Campbell, so you're talking about Evil Dead.
Was it Evil Dead? Yeah. It was probably Evil Dead.
Yeah, because that, well, yeah, the third one was shot here. That was Army of Darkness. I did the horse's armor on that.
You want to know something? I do that all the time, especially with Seven and 12 Monkeys, and I'll say Seven Monkeys.
Well, that's fine. Just like, Return of the Living Dead.
So you could have been one of the in Army of Darkness.
It may have been Evil Dead.
Or whatever.
Well, that's the third Evil Dead movie. That's Universal released it, and they didn't want to use that name, so they used Army of Darkness.
Was that what it was?
Yeah.
Well, all I knew was that it was some big outdoor scene.
You must get this all the time, guys.
Well, yeah.
Like, we want you for this movie.
It's not always a movie. Or
I'm sure it's not. But you've done some acting.
I've done some. I started as a child actor. I had like a Super Bowl commercial, and
I didn't know this.
I peaked at two.
Really?
Yeah.
What was a Super Bowl commercial?
This is all downhill. I think it was for Alcoa Tinfoil. So that's
That really dates you. No, you're older than I thought.
I know.
Isn't that
I was a baby.
Super Bowl commercials. They spent so much money on those.
They did. And it's funny because when you get your yearly statement every year, your like Social Security statement, it shows these like 2 years where I made bank then just years and years and years of just, I guess I must have been in public school.
Do you still get residuals?
I don't think so. No.
Okay.
I don't think they're airing that commercial. I mean, really, is there anything other than Reynolds?
Those commercials with the one where the guy's sitting in front of the mouse hole and then the rat guy in a rat bad rat costume pounds through the wall and starts beating the crap out of him. I thought that was just genius.
That was great.
Simply genius.
We'd submitted.
So you were a child actor.
Yeah, that might explain the damage. But
explains a lot.
Sorry.
Sorry. There's nothing to apologize about.
Yeah. No.
That explains why. That explains why I texted you yesterday, like, you want to come on the show? You're like, yeah, why not?
Because I was a child actor?
Yes.
Oh, fabulous.
The attention. You love the attention.
Well, you know what? I think it's because you're excited at the fact that I'm sometimes available at the drop of a hat, so I can...
sometimes.
Great.
Yeah. It's so... Because I'm so in demand.
Oh, well, you are.
I should say spontaneous.
Well,
I am so not spontaneous.
Oh, I'm spontaneous.
No, I have, like, I think that my... somebody had bought me a refrigerator magnet said plan to be spontaneous tomorrow.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, my thing is just I say yes before I talk myself out of things.
Right.
So you're a yes person.
And that's why I'm glad you're here. Yes.
Trouble.
Trust me, I know my guests. People are like, how do you get these great guests? I'm like, it's timing. I know when to get them. But was Reanimator one of the first movies you ever worked on?
Oh, no. The first movie I ever did was Nightmare, which was became well known because it was credited to Tom Savini for the effects, and he didn't do it, so he sued him, so they had to take his name off, and everybody's, well, who did all this? And it was me. And I was doing it in Florida at the time. That film we shot down in Cocoa Beach, near Cape.
Well, that's got to be flattering at the time.
Yeah, it was kind of cool, and it was a very bloody film, very fun. And then I ended up doing the Blu-ray when it came out, doing the commentary, and just bagged on everything. I like doing commentaries. But that was the first one. Reanimator was something I had already been shooting, and I was working with Charlie Band at the time, doing Troll and Eliminators and Zone Troopers and all these films that we're going to shoot in Italy.
I saw Troll.
Troll was on last night.
Troll or Troll 2?
Troll 2 is not really
the
related.
The Sonny Bono.
Sonny is so sweet. Yeah, it's so cool.
Julie Lee Dreyfus, Michael Moriarty, Troll.
Yeah,
I just realized Sonny Bono's in Airplane.
Airplane 2, not Airplane.
Was it Airplane 2?
Yeah.
Airplane
yeah.
2, not the original.
Yeah.
And Christopher Lee's in 79.
Yeah.
But that.
So you're doing, you did a bunch of movies in Italy.
Yeah, well, the thing was we had we were working on those, and then Charlie picked up Reanimator and put up the completion funds for it, so we came in and we shot that entire hospital ending in 4 days right before Christmas. And we were doing 20-hour days and stuff, and it was just nuts.
I can
imagine.
We were
delirious. I wouldn't even go home. I'd just go over to, like, the club and then come back and pick up where I left off, you know. Yeah, we were delusional.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it was the 80s, too.
And then there was the dead cat scene, you know, which we had to redo the dead cat that somebody else had done. And there was three of us under the table, John Vulich and Gino Cardinale and I, and we had our monitor to look at, and we were watching the Three Stooges at the time, and just up there using the Captain Kangaroo School of Puppeteering, you know, okay, bam, 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 okay. Yeah. It's still such a fun film. I had not read a script.
Well, I love Reanimator.
Yeah, I made that, you know, worked my head, and it was like I didn't know what it was supposed to do until I got to the set. You know, and I'm like, oh, okay. That was a fun one, though. I mean, I did not realize it was a comedy because I had never even heard of that, and I'm a big Lovecraft fan. And I finally found the Herbert West stories, and they're actually funny. Lovecraft actually knew how to write a funny story.
Right.
I thought it was just funny.
It's an interesting sense of humor, but yes.
Yeah, it's good. But, I mean, that's like just a classic. They at least have not rebooted that, you know.
Right.
But, yeah, that was wonderful to work on.
And I was when I was doing my research, I was very surprised. Not surprised, but I was like, you've worked with Devo a lot.
Devo, yeah, they're
I love great. Devo.
Oh, wow.
I love Devo, too. And Mark's such a... They're all cool. But, yeah, they wrote a
Did
song
Did you design
about
their
me.
Outfits for, like, the comeback?
I didn't design the outfits. They had a design or something. I made them.
The blue ones with the thing?
Yeah, kind of bluish white things on their faces.
Yeah.
What we did do was the silver faces for the video, for the monster, and they wrote a song about me. So this is why I say, and nobody told me that they'd done this. And they're filming me at the time for my show, and I start hearing it, and I'm thinking, wait a minute. And I'm listening to the lyrics, and I'm thinking, they're singing about me. And I start crying. I'm like, get the cameras off me! Get the cameras
so
off me! That was so touching.
Devo wrote a song about you. That's amazing.
What,
I have
which,
no bucket
song?
List. I have no bucket list. Monster Man.
Monster Man.
Really?
Yeah, and I'm in the video. It's me in the Gothzilla suit fighting Devo Man, which was Michael Sue. He was a Power Rangers stunt guy, and he and I met fighting on a pilot called Monster Smash, and we had such an instinct for being in these big kaiju suits and going at it that we fought all of our fights together. And so when we were doing
the show, I gotta watch this video.
It was fun. Yeah, doing the fight. But
when did you meet Mark and the guys?
Let's see. The first time I met him was back on Captain EO at the party. I think he came with Tony Basil.
Captain EO,
the
Disneyland thing. Did you work on that?
No, but my friend did, so we went to the party
together.
All right. And that's when I met him the first time. But when I first started working on him, it's hard to say, 2011 maybe or something. I think they'd come out with... It was when they did the blue thing.
Right,
you know,
right.
The bluish kind of look things. Because right. there'd been a
and
lot
you had,
of...
And you had Monster Man on the air at the time.
No, not yet.
Or you were working
on it. No, I hadn't done that yet.
Okay.
Yeah. Because I do stuff for like for Gene Simmons, I do his armor.
Yeah, I was going to say, you've worked with a lot of different, saying about Bossy.
ICP, which still owes me money. you know.
Hey, guys, pay up.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Alice Cooper, I got to redo his Cyclops. Stuff. There's been a lot of really cool ones. Tenacious D done a lot of stuff for them.
Oh, that's
I get these little sketches, you know, on a napkin.
Like the whole devil costume and stuff?
Actually, it was like we did a mushroom for, I think it was in the movie they used that, and a Bigfoot, and there was this, a lizard costume for Kyle because they made a mistake and it was supposed to be a wizard.
Right.
He came out looking like a lizard. They're funny, you know, and just, and the metal was one of the big ones.
Right.
It was basically it was a Rock'em Sock'em robot. Inspired by the door from Labyrinth is how I designed it.
Ah.
Yeah.
So these people just give you an abstract idea like that, and you're
something
like,
that. They'll give me a drawing on a napkin. That's Jack's usual thing. Also, we do his outfits, like when he goes to a premiere or something. Like he wanted for, was it Tropic Thunder? He wanted something that was like, he was in a thunder suit, and his wife was in a tropic suit, which was all bananas and stuff.
Oh, that's
and
great.
We did that and airbrushed like lightning on his jacket and stuff. And yeah,
he seems
cool.
like he'd that's be hilarious. A really good sport.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. He's cool.
And you know, it was I actually saw this is a really horrible segue. I saw a Devo Burlesque show once.
What?
And you've done burlesque. Were you in that one?
No, I've hosted burlesque. I just let you tell people I'm a burlesque dancer because it makes me sound so much
you've
cooler
never
than I am.
You never danced burlesque?
Not publicly.
No.
You sure?
No, I'm not sure.
Well, I don't know. You were telling me like Paris is like, oh, I can't believe I've seen you with clothes on.
No, that was different. That was at a photo shoot. We were, okay, the reason that Paris had was surprised that he had seen me with clothes on because we were in his garage shooting this, like, it was supposed to be this really bloody, gory, I think it was white trash.
Paris is a club promoter. I know Cleve knows.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was essentially like a white trash murder scene. So I think it was... Parrish and Melody Gore and I, and we were his victims, and we were all chained up in his garage, and the lighting was
on.
Yeah, and Karen Shaw was taking the photography, and we just got all these really like gnarly. I mean, if you didn't know that we were laughing the whole time, you would think something seriously horrible. Like, MySpace kept taking the photos down just because they were like, you know, basically we're...
And MySpace took nothing down.
No, we got. I don't know if they did, but I know that I got notices that they were going to, like, let law enforcement know that we had committed some heinous crime, and then... We decided, oh, well...
You'd think.
Yeah, no, nobody's hurt. I'm still here. I'm sure people would have wished I was murdered in Parrish's garage, but no, sure. I'm still here.
Yeah. Well. Parrish is a different guy when he takes his boots off and he's like 5'9".
It was like, I don't know if you know this, like Parrish has the most amazing, I forget what kind of car it is, but it is the most amazing, and he keeps it in such amazing ping condition. Mm-hmm. It's admirable. I've spoken to his mechanic. He takes very, very good care of his car.
Right. But so Monster Man was you and your family.
Yeah, me and my family.
And how did that affect your family, though?
Oh, made them a bunch of greedy assholes. No, not really. Not really. No, that was nothing really, because it doesn't affect us. I don't know. It just doesn't. I never noticed cameras there.
Really?
It never bothered me. I could just not even zone them out. But the problem was the sound. That guy knew everything about us because we forgot we had these little mics on. And oh, my God. He heard things. Yeah. He's like, yeah, well, Sonia, she's trying to figure out if she's out of range yet. Hill's trying to plan and murder everybody. And haven't got anything wrong with you yet.
Really, honestly, who isn't cool. trying to plan a murder?
Yeah. So this one wasn't bullshit. It wasn't like you guys, they gave you a script and you guys...
No, well, yeah.
I mean, sometimes they did, but...
Well,
yeah.
Like for the interview sections, you know, that was most of that script. But there's certain things in there, and I think contractually I'm safe now.
Yeah.
I did not die in the Devo episode. I did not die. You know, they edited it.
You
make
didn't
it
die?
Seem like,
what, Devo killed you in
like
the episode?
No, I'm in the monster suit, and I fall down, and they're saying, oh, my God, he can't breathe and stuff.
Cut to commercial
break. What really happened was I tripped on my tail and fell over, and I thought, hey, I haven't been off my feet in 24 hours. I'm just going to lay here a few minutes while they get the shot ready, and I'm all comfortable in my suit. And all. And, yeah, they came back, and I saw the episode, and people are like, what's that thing that people blog or whatever, plot to get something or other. Get glue. It's just people are crying. Like, they think I'm. They think it was happening
like on Reddit,
right then and there.
Yeah.
Like, this was shot 6 months ago. Yeah.
If you're a celebrity and people think you've died,
yeah.
you get that extra bump.
Yeah,
so
but
you
I couldn't.
Can, you can come
yeah,
out
say
and tell
anything
people you
because
died.
I was contractually I couldn't say this is all bullshit or anything.
Yeah, yeah. yeah.
Reality in terms of reality television has a whole different definition. Now, when it comes to the interview parts, the first episode, I argued it must have taken 9 hours. To do that episode because I argued everything. This is wrong. This is wrong. This is wrong. By the end of it, I learned to choose my battles. And when something was incredibly stupid, I would just let it go. And I could do, you know, like 2 episodes in 90 minutes.
Right.
Bam, I just go through that because I knew how to do the parlay that they like, you know. Challenge accepted. Yeah, that whole thing. Yeah. Yeah, just see that little light come on. I can be dead tired and stuff. That light comes on. I'm bing. Okay, here we go. Da-da-da. Yeah. Yeah, and listen to a little Snake River Conspiracy and get into, you know, character and go
there you
for
go.
It.
Well,
I haven't
heard
somebody mention Snake River Conspiracy.
I love
in
Vulcan.
A while.
Yeah, no, that's something like that. That's the stuff I listen to on the way to court in the morning. So I'm really aggressive. You know,
I swear, I can't believe. I don't know how you guys have never met.
I don't know
because you guys
surprised.
Have the same.
Because I'm very shy and I don't talk to people usually.
Yeah,
you guys
that,
have
that's
the same
about
circle
the same.
Of friends.
Yeah,
and I'm sure you've been in the same place at the same time.
Probably.
She said you may have gone into her store once or twice.
That's possible.
Possible, but you know, I wish. I didn't have a show to go to. I wish we had a whole hour, but you very exciting news. You're working on more films than ever. And
you're doing
a
lot of stuff right now. It's been a good year, yeah.
You just did a thing for, and you didn't think you could talk about it, but the
I was under
today.
A non-disclosure agreement on this one. We did it in February, but they at Comic-Con, they dropped the trailer to it, and that's the new Jay and Silent Bob reboot.
Right.
And I can now, I have some actual footage I'll hand you that behind the scenes of the suit. I did Iron Bob, which is Silent Bob as Iron Man.
Wow.
And he's the mall security guard.
Yes.
And he comes out and is kicking butt in the thing. That was crazy. And yeah, there's been a lot of crazy things recently.
I was gonna say that's a lot of iron, but he's lost all the weight.
No, it was great. Plus, I did. Mark Hamill has this. You know how he had the big fist in Jane Silent Bob Strike Back?
Wasn't it a big cock?
No, he had a big fist.
No, you everything's
no, but he has he has a cock laser. He has
so,
a cock.
Mark is so Freudian. No, everything's a cock.
No, 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 no. But, he had a cock like a lightsaber.
Yeah, his new glove though is an infinity glove.
Ah.
So yeah, I did that one for him and
the gauntlets.
Yeah, and then just a bunch of other stuff. I just got back from Atlanta. Actually, we were doing an R.L. Stine film. Which the name of which I cannot remember, but we did a blob for it, and this is Robert Kurtzman and I. He has a shop in Atlanta, and I've known him since '85. He's excellent. He used to be the K of K and BFX, and he has his own shop now, and I love working with him. We also do the Kevin Smith stuff, but yeah, I just did this blob for him. It came out really cool because once again, it was a creature that had no real design to start with. It was something we kind of created as we went and developed, and it came out really cool. Plus, had all these bladders and bulges and things breathing and stuff, which were whoopee cushions with tubes going in them.
Was it for the Goosebumps franchise?
This is before Goosebumps. He wrote some more adult things.
Okay.
And it's not from the Goosebumps.
Right, not Fear Street. It's
That thing. Is
that it? Fear Street? Yeah, he had another. Like, Fear Street was like supposed to be like when you outgrew Goosebumps.
Okay.
Fear Street.
There's three films that have been done, I guess, based on those, and this is from one of those.
Okay.
Like
I love
Creature
that this
in a Cave.
Is such an educational show.
It really has been.
Mm-hmm.
But, Cleve, I really want you to come back soon, and I'm going to hit you up with a little more notice.
Okay, well, that's fine. Well, next time, maybe my band's going to be back in town and playing West Coast in...
I was going to say, because I've heard your band. You played at your Halloween party.
It was Earn. Yeah.
Oh. Earn. He plays keyboards.
Yeah, this is ex-members of Electric Hellfire Club who now have the band Earn, and they'd been together for quite a while, and then they needed a keyboardist. And I'd gone to talk to them about doing a video for them and ended up becoming their keyboardist because I just love the music and everything. And I have a video I'll give you if you can show a clip from it, but it's just like this one. We had all this planned for the video that day, and we was going to shoot it all outside and stuff. It dumped rain. Totally dumped. So we shot it in my living room. So it looked a little different than we'd planned on, but it was fun to do. And then I hadn't played since got back in '86 with Exquisite Corpse. I had Screaming Mad George, Sean Brennan, and John Vulis with me. It was like an effects band almost, and we do live on stage disembowelments and everything else. But you know, I remember opening for Specimen on Halloween night at Scream.
That's great. Yeah.
Great days. Oh. Wonderful days.
We got to talk about that when Earn is back in town. We got to have you back.
Yeah,
in. Hannah wants to. Hannah's so bummed that she missed you. And like I say, you've got all sorts of stories. We could talk. We could talk all night. How do people get a hold of you, Cleve? If you want,
usually
people...
if they grab me around the middle is the best place.
like social media wise.
Go on my Facebook. That's the only one I've actually kind of figured out. I don't Twitter because at 144 characters, I'm just getting wound up.
As you've seen,
a challenge. Yes. I love Twitter.
Yeah, I can't do Twitter, and on Instagram, I think I have three or four photos. I do Facebook, just Cleve Hall,
because
they shut me down. You know. I had
you too?
With no explanation, could not even talk to a human being about it. I bitched and whined and I threatened.
You know what? When you find that you're just arguing with artificial intelligence, you're like, never mind, I'll just create another. I'm on another 25 day suspension. I can't send any requests.
Right. Oh, mine is I'm back up to maybe like 4,000 fans, but you know, it's like mine blew up to 5,000 in a week when my show aired.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and I have fan pages, but I don't know how to do those.
And you know, you make yourself up to look older anyway. You don't need that face app shit.
Yeah. Oh, that. What is that about?
That's a Russian app.
Russian counterintelligence.
I've heard about that, but for me, I can just see, I put in that face app thing, come back, and it gives me a skull. Oh, thanks. No, I don't need to see this, you know.
I don't need a preview. No. I can count the rings as it is now. I don't need a preview.
Yeah, I just turned 60 last week. And
you look great.
Well, thank you.
Okay.
I tried. Happy birthday. But yeah, thank you. But it's just weird, you know, this big 6-0 in your head, and you're like, you know, and thinking,
but you're still full of energy.
Should be falling apart now, you know? Yeah. I've always felt young and felt like, I mean, my taste hasn't changed everything like I did in the 80s, you know, which was the greatest decade on earth, by the way.
Right.
Yeah, but, you know, just that's when I got into the goth thing. I've been since 83 doing this, and, you know, now...
You're like the goth Mr. Rogers. You don't age.
Yeah, and my family, our house is, it's very inspirational to me. The whole goth community and the goth scene has been very inspirational to my work and my life, and I'm, you know.
Yeah.
Because it's not a phase, it's a lifestyle.
It is, exactly.
For the three of us, absolutely.
And you want to give back, and that's why I started the Dark Angels LA, which is my charity thing, made up of goths. And like we did, handed out 10,000 turkeys at Thanksgiving to the poor, and they were like 7 o'clock in the morning. You know, and Charlie was there, and we were handing out these turkeys, and these people coming up getting them from vampires at 7 o'clock in the morning.
But they loved it,
and this was in downtown LA and everything. But it was so cool, and we couldn't lift our arms the next day. Those turkeys were so heavy. Right. But the thing is, that a lot of celebrities. So
Charlie Janelle?
Yeah.
She can lift them.
Yeah, she's got.
You know Charlie.
I mean Charlie.
She was on the show.
Okay.
She's pretty buff. She can handle it.
Oh, yeah, she does. But because a lot of the celebrities that were there and the mayor and everything else, as soon as the cameras left, they left.
Yeah.
You know, and it was just some of us left to hand the stuff out still, and there was still a lot of it. And we just kept going till like 10 o'clock at night handing it to the last.
And what
turkey.
Is the charity again?
That was Dark Angels LA.
Dark Angels LA. Yeah. Is it still going?
Yeah, I'm still. I don't have enough time to do everything myself, so I just need more lieutenants out there, you know, kind of. Because I'm very much the shiny object person. Right. I see something over here. Oh, you know, and I get on that, and I'm working on that, and I realize I didn't get back to this thing that I was doing before. So that's why I was like, don't ever interrupt me, because I will not finish what I started.
Right. I hate to interrupt you now, but Rotten Kitty, you'll be playing the Midsummer's Night Variety Show.
I am.
With me.
That'll be July 27th. Saturday evening.
Please, if you're not doing anything, please come down.
Okay.
We'll both be performing. We got all sorts of great stuff.
I apologize in advance?
Jacqueline Von Bjerk.
I do it too.
Jacqueline Von Bjerk from Otto's Daughter is performing. Mm-hmm. We've got Kix Rebellion. We have Danger Steve's going to be doing some stuff. Sweet. Michael Vile is going to be a fun show.
Nice. It'll be like the old Vampire Bazaar used to be. Bizarre Vampire Bazaar used to be so wonderful.
It'll be a fun subculture variety show.
And how do people get a hold of you and put your face on FaceApp and see what you look like?
I was going to say, don't do like you do with Cleve. Do not grab me.
Right.
That's...
I made that mistake.
Yeah, no. You can find me at Rotten Kitty on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. I think I'm...
MySpace?
Probably still on MySpace. And then I'll be at the Midsummer thing on July 27th. I'll be performing at the 5-Star Bar on August 5th. That's a Monday.
Yeah.
And the Van Nuys Comedy Club on August 10th, a Saturday.
Oh, wow.
So you have no excuse not to come and see me. Come see me. Please come see me. I'm so lonely. Come see me. Please.
Kitty, Cleve, thank you for coming down. Everybody, have a wonderfully creepy week. Bye.
Bye.